Ezekiel chapter number 22. When Brother Coker this morning was giving his presentation, he was doing a little preaching during his presentation, and I thought he was going to preach my message. I even turned around to his wife and daughters, and I showed them my message, and I said, was he looking at my notes before he got up here? And I guess that's just confirmation from the Lord that this is what needs to be done this morning. So Ezekiel chapter number 22 in your Bibles, when you find your place, say amen. Ezekiel chapter 22, and we're going to look down at verse number 23 through verse number 31. Ezekiel chapter 22. The Bible says in verse number 23, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art a land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore I have poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. We see there in verse number 30, which is where we'll draw the message from, in verse number 30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. God, ever since the beginning of time, has been looking for a man. He's been looking for a man that would stand in the gap, that would stand up and preach the Word of God without compromise, that would stand with the book, that would obey His principles, that would preach sound doctrine. And it says here that He could not find a man. He sought for a man, but there was no man. None could be found. And I'm telling you this morning that there is a lack of godly men and women in this world today. If there ever was such a time, we're living in it today. Some of these older preachers, and I know around this country, and some that we have here, some of you older folks, you remember the day when things were different than they were today. People used to have a little reverence and respect for the house of God. But now the house of God has been turned into something that doesn't even resemble a church today. Like Brother Coker was saying this morning. And God's been looking for a man, and He's looking for godly men and women and godly young people to stand up and be godly once again. You say, what's godly, Brother Andrew? It's everything that's in that book right there that represents God. Somebody that's godly represents God, represents Jesus Christ. And man, God is looking for some men. He's looking for some women that will stand in the gap in these days that we're living in. This world is wicked, it's wicked, it's wicked. But you know, now today, Brother Terry, we can't even tell if it's a man or a woman. How are we supposed to look for a man when we don't know what a man looks like anymore? Hey man, a man should have a short hair and cut and look like a man. A lady should have long hair and look like a lady, but we got it all backwards. There's ladies today that look like men. And there's men that look, it's all confusing, amen? And I'm talking about even in the church. What's the name of that? Joyce Myers, amen? She can preach better than most preachers. She gets up there, she's got that deep voice, but man, the church is confused today. God's not in any of that stuff. But God's been looking for a man. He wants young men and He wants young women. And He wants young people to stand in the gap and stand for something today. The church today doesn't stand for hardly anything anymore. They let anything come in. They let anything happen. Anything go. And I heard it said one time, if you don't stand for anything, you'll fall for everything.
Yeah,
right. Amen. And we need to stand up today. But let me give you this as a way of introduction. And I'll try to preach fast this morning. First of all, I'd like to see the problem. Look at the problem here. Why do we need someone to stand in the gap this morning, Brother Andrew? The problem is because of wickedness.
Yeah.
Look there in verse number 24. Y'all still with me? Verse 24, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. The problem we see here is wickedness.
Yeah,
and we're living in a world today we're surrounded by wicked things.
A
lady can take her baby and decide to kill that baby. Put it in a garbage bag and throw it in a garbage can in a restaurant or a gas station somewhere. A filthy restroom. Hey, that's wicked. The fact that we're killing the babies and we got sodomites everywhere. Hey, he talked about sin this morning. There's a lot of sin going on, but man, I'll tell you, this world is wicked. It's wicked. It breaks my heart to think of the world that even these girls right here, about to be teenagers, it breaks my heart, the world they're going to have to live in 10 years. You think we have to stand for something today? I'm telling you, in 10 years from now, you're going to have every guard up, every protection up. Hey, you got to have that right now. We need that right now. You said, we need to pray for these kids. You say, I don't have no kids. Hey, you pray for your grandbabies. You say, I don't got no grandbabies. Hey, pray for my kids. This world's wicked. And you say, well, we try to do things to protect them from this world. And we homeschool our kids and we try to get them around youth rallies and those things. But I'm telling you, the devil's going to be wherever God's at.
Yeah.
God's blessing, God's protecting, but the devil's going to find his way to get in there.
Yeah.
And there's got to be someone to stand in that gap. We see here in verse number 25, there was a problem with the prophets. It says in verse 25, there's a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. These prophets are a representation of maybe an evangelist today. And you got these TV preachers, these TV evangelists, that are going around and they're preaching a false gospel. You say, this was going on back in the Old Testament. It's going on today. And these prophets were going, and they were preaching a message. They were like, the Bible says here, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. That's what they were doing. You know what some of these TV evangelists are doing today? They are preying on the people that they're talking to. You know how many little old ladies and people sitting at home and they're just doing the best they can. They don't have very much money, but they'll get on there and watch this guy who's got a private jet that takes him everywhere he goes. He's got a mansion of a house that all of our homes could fit in.
Yeah.
And he's telling them, give all you got. And I'm going to send you a prayer cloth in return.
Yeah.
Amen? A prayer cloth. I'm going to pray over it and send it to you. And you just give, and these little ladies and these little people are naive to what's going on, and they give them everything they've got with a false hope that something's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the only way that God's going to bless your home is through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And out of that book right there, it's not going to be through a prayer cloth. It's not going to be through a televangelist. It's going to be from that precious Bible that you have in your lap right there. It's going to be getting in church and getting around God's people and getting around. I like something that's real.
Amen.
I like what he said this morning about contemporary. Amen?
Yes.
About it being a con and temporary.
Yes.
But I'm telling you that there's a problem of wickedness, and the prophets, even back in this day, the prophets were going out and they were preying on people.
Yeah.
And they were doing it for a filthy lucre's sake, and they were doing it for the wrong reasons. We have that today. We got these people that stand, man, and they call themselves prophets.
Yeah.
You know, the only prophesying you're going to do is going to come out of that Bible right there.
Yeah.
Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. If you get up and preach something that's not in that book, then you're lying.
Yeah.
Amen. God did not show up a 9-foot Jesus and give you something different from that. Than other than, but people follow stuff like that. Amen. So we here, I gotta move along, and this is gonna take 2 hours. Alright, so, we got the prophets here, and they're praying on people, and they're like roaring lions. Not only that, but we see the priests. Look at verse 26. Her priests have violated my law, and have profaned mine holy things. You say, what does the priest represent? The priest represents the preacher. The priest represents the man of God. And you know the Bible says that back in this day, the priest, the man of God was doing, he was violating God's law. He was getting up and preaching one thing and living another way. He said he profaned mine holy things. Man, these preachers, I'm telling you, that are going, they preach one thing and live another way, I don't have nothing for them.
Amen.
Getting up robbing God and robbing God's people. I can give you illustration after illustration of preachers that were robbing God and robbing the church and robbing them blind. I can tell you about one right now and up in Ohio that I know about. They started Faith Promise Missions, and they took up all this money for missions, and they said, we're supporting this missionary and this missionary and this missionary. And come to find out, about a year later, one of the missionaries came through. And the family said, man, I'm glad we're supporting you. And he said, I haven't ever received any money from you. What happened? The preacher was pocketing all that money. You think God's going to bless that? Absolutely not. And he says here that they were taking things that were holy. And the Bible also says here in verse 26, they put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. You know what's taking place today in this country? Like you said this morning, some of these mega churches, they've gotten up, and there is no difference now between the clean and the unclean. I'll just preach a Bible this morning. There's no difference between the things that are of God and the things that are of the world. They've taken the music of the world and the lyrics of Christians, and they put them together. They've taken the clothing of the world, and they put a Christian name tag on them, and they put it in the church all of a sudden. They've taken these Bibles, amen, that the devil's orchestrated to go against our Bible, and they in the name of Christianity, and they've mixed them together. I'm telling you, that's not right. You say, that's another church. Most of them don't call themselves churches, like he said this morning. Some of this is repeating because he preached some of my message this morning. But I'm telling you that these preachers were taking the things that were unclean and ungodly and mixing them with the things of God. Wickedness. You say, what was wrong, Brother Andrew? Well, I'm telling you, the prophets were all messed up, the evangelists were messed up, the preachers, the priests, they were all messed up. They were taking things that were holy and belonged to God and messing them up. They'll take songs like Amazing Grace and completely twist that thing around with the same lyrics, but you don't even recognize the song anymore. The devil will use those things to try to infiltrate the church in any way he can. And you say, well, I felt something during some of those songs. Some of you might have even been to some, and yeah, you did feel something. It was a spirit, but it was not the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
Because the Bible says to come out ye from amongst the world and be ye separate.
Amen.
So if he says that, why in the world would he be okay with taking the world's music and putting it in the church? He wouldn't be.
Right.
He wouldn't be. I've heard people say, Brother Andrew, you know, that's just the time that we live in today. That's not the time I'm living in. I'm living in what the Bible says. Amen. And I know times have changed in some ways, and society's trying to advance the law, but my Bible says God's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If it was unholy and unrighteous for back then, it's still unholy and unrighteous now. So we see there that the preachers and the priests, and look at verse number 27, it says her princes. Her princes, they were like wolves ravening to prey. They shed blood, destroy souls, get dishonest gain. You say, who are the princes, Brother Andrew? Those are the leaders in the community. Those were the leaders in the society. The princes, hey, the prophets were wicked, the preachers were wicked, hey, the leaders of the community were wicked. That's what was going on. And I'm telling you, we're there today. We are there today. Not only that, but look at the last one before I get into the message here. Look at verse number 29. It says what? The what? Y'all there in verse 29? The people. The people of the land, they used oppression, they exercised robbery, they vexed the poor and needy, they oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Everything about this was wrong and it was wicked.
Amen.
Say, the preacher, the prophet, the leaders, the princes, hey, the whole deal was messed up, the people were wicked. There was wickedness on every hand. And you know what God asked for? Verse number 30, He said, I sought for a man among them. God was just trying to find a man that would stand in the gap. He looked at the prophets. He looked at the priests. He looked at the preachers. He looked at the evangelists. He looked at the leaders of the community. He looked at all the people. And He couldn't find one man that would just fill that gap where the world was getting in. The world was getting in. The world was devouring. The world was getting in. The wickedness. The devil had his way. And he had his way into that thing. And there's a gap in the doorway. And he could not find one man to stand in the gap. Here's the message this morning. I'll give this to you and we'll be done. The title of the message is, would someone stand in that gap? I'm telling you, we live in a world of wickedness today. These kids right here, hey, some of you older folks, you don't even realize what they're going through. I'm telling you, I've heard my mom, when I was a kid, man, she used to listen to some of that really old music, that doo-wop music. Amen. It was all strange stuff to me. But I at least understood what they were saying in the song. I thought it was silliness. Amen. But she would listen to some of that. So I hear some guys at work playing music sometimes and I don't even understand it. It's another language, man. I'm telling you, music has changed. It's gotten worse and all these things. And we don't realize what some of these kids are having to deal with today.
Right.
And some of us, man, we got our heads in the sand and we don't realize the devil's still out there and he's still attacking. And you know what the devil's looking for? The devil wants to get in this church. And you know what he's looking for, Brother Terry? He's looking for a gap.
Yeah.
Brother Johnny, the devil wants to destroy your family. And you know what he's looking for? He's looking for whatever gap he can get in.
Right.
He's looking for a hole that he can get in, and if he can just get his foot in the door, he could do some damage.
Yeah.
But all he needs is a gap.
Right.
All he needs is one place, and the message today is, would someone stand in the gap? Turn over with me very quickly to John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. I want to preach, would someone stand in the gap? Do we have a father, a man, a woman, a lady, a mother, a child, or somebody that would say this morning, Brother Andrew, I want to stand in the gap. Don't just tell me, say, God, I want to be the one to stand in that gap. John chapter number 4, when you find your place, say amen.
Amen.
John chapter 4, verse number 23. John 4:23. It says, but the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I would like to say, first of all, would someone stand in the gap of worship? God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I'm telling you, what's going on today is not true worship. What's going on today in most people's lives or so-called Christians or so-called churches is not true worship. I'm talking about honoring God for who He is. I'm talking about reverencing Him for who He is. I'm talking about having spirit and truth. You say, what spirit and truth, Brother Andrew? Well, the Spirit is the Holy Spirit of God. First of all, you've got to be saved to have the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot worship God and be lost. You can't do it. But the Bible says, does it not say He's a spirit and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth?
Yes.
You have to have the Spirit of God. Not only that, but you have to have the truth. What's truth? It's in your lap.
Amen.
It's the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. It's the perfect, infallible Word of God. We believe that the King James Bible for the English-speaking people is the Word of God. And you got to have both of those to worship God.
Amen.
So what I'm asking is, would someone stand in the gap of worship? You said, Brother Andrew, we worship here, we praise God and amen and all those things, and that's wonderful, but I'm wondering who's going to do it out there.
Yeah.
I'm wondering who's going to do it tomorrow. Who's going to do it with their family? Who's going to stand in the gap of worship? And whatever this so-called worship is this world has to offer, we got to get rid of that stuff.
Amen.
We got to get rid of that stuff and get back to the truth. You say, Brother Andrew, the Scriptures and the song are almost right. The Bible says spirit and truth. It's either truth or it's not truth. It's either, hey, I'm telling you, most of these songs today, these contemporary songs, they're not even biblical. They're not even Bible. They're not Bible-based. They're not Bible truth. I'm telling you, the songs in this hymn book right here, Amazing Grace and the Old Rugged Cross and songs about being washed in the blood, those are Bible songs. Amen. That's truth right there.
Amen.
Amen. I want to know if someone would stand in the gap of worship. I'm talking about going home and when we're with our families, we're going to really, truly worship God. You say, how do I do that? You do it by the way you live. You know that in the Bible to worship God, Brother Terry, they had to sacrifice.
Yep.
They came to God with something to give to Him.
Yep.
We come and worship God, but what have we given Him? Have we sacrificed anything to worship God? Have we given up any of our time? Have we given up any of that television show? Have we given up any bit of anything to be able to worship God?
Amen.
Talking about a sacrifice of worship. Somebody's got to stand in the gap. Somebody's got to worship God. Somebody's got to praise Him. Somebody's got to magnify His precious name. And I'm telling you, if I'm the only one doing it, I want to worship and praise the Almighty God because He has been good to me. God has blessed me and my family more than I'll ever be able to explain to any of you. And if someone's going to do it, I'm going to worship Him. And we're quick to get on some of the other churches for the way they worship. The swaying and the dancing and all those things and going crazy. And we'll get on to them and get upset at them because we don't believe they're teaching the truth. Because they got a different style of worship and we don't believe it lines up with the Bible. And we say, man, we got the Word of God and we got truth and we preach against the way they do that. But we're just as wrong when we got all the truth in the world and no Spirit at all. We're just as wrong if we have the truth, but we don't have the Spirit of Almighty God. We serve a living God. He's not dead. He's not still in the grave. He arose. He arose. He arose. We serve a living God. He's not dead. I've been in way too many church services. And I don't feel like here, but I've been in way too many services where I feel like, man, did God die again? Did somebody not tell us? Because it just seems like He's gone. Amen. We serve a living Savior. Would somebody stand in the gap of worship? Not only that, I'll read it for you for sake of time. I've got to hurry. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Would someone stand in the gap of work? The gap, you say, what do you mean by that, Brother Andrew? Hey, there's souls to be saved. There's souls that need to be saved. There's work to be done for God. Would someone stand in that gap? You know, that's one gap that the devil loves in most churches. And he can get in that gap where nobody does anything. Amen? No work's being done. No gospel tracts are being given out. Nobody's being told about the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not supporting missionaries. They're not doing anything for God. And the devil's using them as a tool. And you know what he'll do? The devil will get in that gap where you're not staying busy for Him and He'll keep you busy with everything else in the world.
Yes,
I've got this. I've got the lake house. I got basketball. I've got football. I've got this. I got this at work. And next thing you know, the devil's keeping you so busy that you're not doing anything for God.
Yeah.
That's a gap. You know what we need? We need someone to stand in the gap and say, you know what? I'm going to do something for God. We got something going on down at the church. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go get involved with it. Amen. And we've got some that do that and praise the Lord for it. And you know what you're doing? You're standing in the gap and saying, devil, you're not going to get in my life and you're not going to take up all my time.
Amen.
I'm going to do something for God. He's worthy to serve. He's worthy for us to do something for Him. Not only that, but Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Would someone stand in the gap of worship? Someone stand in the gap of work? Would someone stand in the gap of war? This thing we live in is a spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual warfare. You say, Brother Andrew, the devil's trying to attack us on every hand. What do we do? You got to stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. This thing's a war. And you know, I'm telling you, the devil, he is after. I keep saying it over and over again, but I'm telling you, I've lived it. I've seen it. I am related to it. The devil is after after kids. And I've seen him take some of my siblings and completely take their life and just flip it upside down, and I'm telling you, ruin their testimony, ruin any chance they had of doing something, and just completely crumbled it up. And then when he was done with them, he just threw them away. You know what I go back thinking? I say, man, I wish I would have stood in the gap some more. I wish I would have prayed for them more. I wish I would have spent more time in prayer for them. I wish I would have been pleading God for them. I wish I could have done more and stood in the gap. And I'm telling you, I pray for every one of these kids in this church. I pray for everybody in this church. But I pray even more for these kids. Why? Some of you adults, man, you got your mind made up. Amen. You do. You said, I'm serving God, I'm in church, I'm doing... Hey, but these kids, they have to come to church right now. Amen. They do. If you live in my house, you got to go to church. Amen. I had my sister live with me one time, and I said, you got to go to church. She said, I'm a grown woman. I said, I don't care. You're in my house, you're going to church. Amen. You live in my house, you're going to church. Amen. And so that's what we did. But there's going to come an age where it'll be up to them to decide. Yeah. And the teenage years, between 13, 18, between 13 to like 20 years old, somewhere around there, the devil's going to get in their head, and he's going to get in their head. He's going to try to get in their music. He's going to try to get in their dress. He's going to get in every gap he can find. He's going to get in there, and he's going to try to ruin them. And you know what he wants them to do, Brother Johnny? I can't wait till I get out of this house so I don't have to go back to church no more. I can't wait till I get out from underneath my mom and dad. Man, I've seen young men... Brother Coker, they said, man, I cannot wait to get out of house. I want to get out of there. I want to get out of there so bad, I'm going to join the military.
Yeah.
They said, I get tired of being told when to get up and when to go to bed and how to make my bed. I'm going to join the military.
Yeah.
That's not very smart at all.
Amen.
They don't even understand what they're going to be being told. Amen.
Amen.
But we need a mother to stand in the gap for
Amen.
Their kids. You know, there is nothing in the world wrong with the word no.
Exactly right.
Mama, can I wear it? No. You can't wear that.
Amen.
Can I listen to this? No, you can't listen to that. Amen. My mom and dad, they knew where every nook and cranny was in my room. And they looked in it. Often. One time I thought I found a spot. And I got home and those CDs that I had hidden, they were laying on my bed. I turned white as a ghost when I walked in there. I knew Daddy done found them. Amen. You know how old I was, Brother Terry? 17.
Amen.
He went into... It's getting quiet in here. I'm talking about standing in the gap. I'm talking about the devil's not going to get my children. The devil's not going to get my home and my family. And Mama, you're going to say, I'm going to be the one to stand in the gap. I'm going to check the room. I'm going to go through. I'm going to make sure there's nothing that displeases my God. Hey, I don't want the devil to get a door. I don't want the devil to find a hole to crawl through. He'll use that television. He'll use that cell phone. He'll use the music. He'll use... The Bible says the devil has devices.
Yeah.
That's what... It uses the word devices.
Yeah.
And the devil will use those things to get in. All he wants is a hole to get through. And we need someone, a mom, a grandmother, a granddad, to stand in the gap. You say, well, they're old enough to do whatever they want to do. You still need to stand in the gap for them. And tell them what's truth. You love them, tell them the truth. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that no more. Amen? We're standing in the gap. We need some daddies to stand in the gap. Daddies are standing in the gap when it comes to our kids and about who they hang around with and whose house they're going over to. I want to know whose house they're going to. I want to know their parents. I want to know if they're Christians. I want to know, you say, hey, well, they age, that's old-fashioned. Well, I don't care. I'm going to stand in the gap for my kids. I want to stand in the gap. My daughter, she's young. She's got a long way to go. She can't get married until she's about 30 or 40. Amen? When that day comes, you better believe every sucker that comes this way, he's going to get a full inspection. And I'm going to be with him.
Yeah.
My wife, Sarah, whenever I first started coming around, I asked her dad, I said, can I call your daughter? He said, yes. I did not realize when he told me that, it meant that I was spending time with him every day. Every day I went over there, I'd call. They'd say, hey, why don't you come eat with us? I'd go over there. Yes, I get to see Sarah, man. I was... so in love, and I'd get over there and her dad would say, hey, I got some wood to cut, come on. And I would spend hours out there cutting wood, or hours out there cleaning fish, or gutting a deer, and I hardly ever saw her in the first several months. Come to find out, you know what her dad was doing, Brother Terry? Checking me out.
Amen.
Will he work? Will he listen? And I enjoyed doing those things. He taught me a lot of things I didn't know. But man, I tell everybody, when I met Miss Sarah, I courted her dad for 6 months.
Amen.
You know what he was doing? He was standing in the gap. You can't just trust any sucker that comes along.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
We need some parents that will stand in the gap for their family. We need some people that will stand in the gap in this warfare that we're in for their church. And stand up for their church. And stand up for the pastor. And stand up for those that are in the church. I don't want to hear anybody talking about anybody else in this church. I'm not going to let them. If I get out here and somebody wants to say something, hey, we'll get through it. All three of us will talk about it. They're not going to do that. I'm going to stand up for my church. The devil, you know all he's looking for is a gap. That's all he needs. Why do you think God said, I'm looking for a man to stand in the gap? Because all the devil needs is a gap. That's all he needs. That's all a mouse needs. Get in your house. You say, that's not big enough for a mouse. Watch it. It'll get in that hole. You know the devil, the little slippery snaky thing he is? All he needs is a gap. You know what I'm asking this morning? Will someone stand in the gap? Will someone stand in the gap of worship? Will someone stand in the gap of work? Will someone stand in the gap of the war that we're in? The devil's fighting for these kids. He's fighting for your marriage. Hey, husband. Hey, wife. Would you stand in the gap? Would you fight for it? Would you fight for the truth? Would you fight for what's right? I know that every bit of a message like this goes against Americanism in society today. But it doesn't matter. What does the Lord say? Amen. Amen. Would someone stand in the gap? Let me give you the last one real quick and I'll be done. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 16. I love this verse. And I'm a young man. I just turned 30. And I've talked to people. I've preached in several different churches before, and I've had people come up to me and they'll say, Brother Andrew, why are you so old fashioned? You're so young. Because it works.
Amen.
I've seen it work. I've seen God bless, and it's working for me and my family.
Amen.
If you want to do something else, have at it. It's all yours. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Because it works. We sent out a flyer. Just this past week, we sent out another flyer to the community. And I got a long email from a lady. And I won't tell you her name. Her name's on there. Some of you might even know her. She lives somewhere around here. But she went down through there and was ridiculing us because we stand for the King James Bible and we still use a hymn book. She said, why would you put that on your flyer? You're going to deter people from coming. Well, I want them to know up front, we believe the King James Bible is the Word of God and we still use the hymn book and we're old-fashioned independent Baptist church.
Yeah.
Knowing up front, I like knowing what I'm getting into. I can't tell you, when my dad, before my dad started pastoring in Ohio, we visited church after church after church, and you know what the biggest fear was? It was the fear of the unknown. Just because you saw Baptist church on it, you didn't know what you were getting into. When someone gets our flyer in the mail, when they read it, they're going to have a good idea of what this church is going to be like. And I haven't responded to her yet. She goes to a mega church and she said that she likes the worship and they dance and they do all these things. I'm going to respond and say, listen, if that's what you like, that's fine. But as for me and my house, and the reason why we put that on the flyer, we want people to know that's what we are. If you want to be a part of it, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. Our church is not for everybody. And I'm not being mean in saying that. We're not for everybody. I'm not the preacher for everybody. And that's okay. You go find somewhere where you can serve God. But I'm telling you, we're going to do it scripturally. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Jeremiah 6:16. Look what the Bible says. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways. That sounds a whole lot about like standing in the gap. Stand in the ways and see and ask for the what? The old path. Ask for the way that's proven. Where is the good way and walk therein? Ye shall find rest for your souls. Look at this sad statement. Back there in Ezekiel 22, he said, I sought for a man to stand in the gap and there was none. Look at this. He said, ask for the old path. Look at the end of the verse. But they said, we will not walk therein. You know what they told God? We're not going to do that. God, we're going to go a different way. God, we're going to dress different. Our worship's going to be different. We're still going to worship you, but we're going to do it our way.
Yeah.
I want to say, will someone stand in the gap when it comes to our walk for the Lord? When it comes to every day of our life, will someone stand in the gap? Will someone stand in the gap when it comes to this book right here? Believing the King James Bible is the Word of God. Amen. I preached this at a Free Will Baptist convention. I'm like, Brother Coker, if I get asked to preach, I'll go preach anywhere. I will preach anywhere they'll let me preach. Amen. Our company had a big Christmas get together the other day and a retirement party at a bowling alley. And me and my wife went, and somebody said, hey, well, the preacher, they said, preacher, will you pray? I said, I sure will. And guess what? I preached in my prayer. I gave them the gospel in the prayer. Thanking the Lord for what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. I'll preach anywhere I can. But I preached at the Free Will Baptist Church, and I preached the same message, and I got off on the King James Bible. I'm telling you, that place shut down on me. And an old man came up to me afterwards. This man had to have been 80-something years old, old preacher. He preached at Free Will Baptist Church up there in North Alabama. He came over there. He said, preacher, I haven't heard anybody preach on the King James Bible since I was a little boy. Why? They're afraid of offending people. I love my Bible. And I'm not ashamed. You say, will you let, I've been in some churches, they'll have it posted on the back door. When you walk in the door, it says, if you've got something different than a King James Bible, turn around and leave. I'm not doing that. That's ridiculous. Amen. That's the only thing that will be preached out of in this church. And that's what I encourage you to bring. But some people don't know why, Brother Heitch. They don't know. It used to be that everybody back years and years and years and years ago, everybody knew, hey, you got your King James Bible until all these other versions started coming out. This one's the oldest. It's been tested by time. Amen. It's found to be faithful.
Amen.
You know that the King James Bible is the only one, the only Bible that does not have a copyright. You say, I got one in my Bible. You have a copyright right on the guy's notes that are in your Bible. There's not a copyright on the Bible itself. If someone takes and writes a commentary in the Bible, there might be a copyright on his notes. But hey, check it out. But the NIV, the ASV, the RSV, all those other ones, hey, they have copyrights on them. If you use so many verses of their version, you have to get a written permission to use them. This one's the only one that doesn't have, it's the only one authorized by a king.
Yeah,
amen. We need to stand in the gap when it comes to this Bible.
Yes.
When it comes to this book, when it comes to the Bible, we need to stand in the gap when it comes to the blood. I still believe the blood saves. Amen. We need to stand in the gap when it comes to the band. You say, what's that? The music. The music we allow in our homes, in our lives. We need to stand in that gap. Say, is it spiritual songs? Is it hymns? Does it bring praise to God Almighty? There's a man this past weekend at the youth rally said, how do I know if I should listen to this music? Would you play it in church? Would you put it up on the screen and play it in church? Would you be comfortable doing that? You say, no, I wouldn't. No, then you probably don't need to be listening to it.
No,
what movie should I watch? Are you comfortable playing it in church with whatever it has on it, with whatever images it shows, with whatever language it has? Are you comfortable playing it in church? Would you be embarrassed to play it in church? Amen? Getting quiet in here, but I'm just trying to help you. We're talking about standing in the gap.
Yes, sir.
Someone standing in the gap when it comes to their walk. I'm going to do this and I'll be finished. I'm about to give an invitation in just a second. But I need some help. Okay? Can both of you two come up here? Brother Zane, would you come up here? Alright. Let's get over here. We got more room over here. This is different, but I'm different. I do different things sometimes. Alright, Brother Johnny and Cheryl, could y'all come? And Brother William, is your back? Would you be able to come up here? I'm giving an illustration. If it's too much trouble on you, we'll get somebody standing in your place. All right, let's do that. But would you come up here? Yes, ma'am. Would you come up here? And Brother Wilburn, you come. Your family. I'm gonna give an illustration here. All right, Brother Zane and girls, I want you to stand right here. All right, now y'all family, right? All right, well, act like it a little bit, okay? Let's get right here. A little closer together. All right, now I want y'all to come around him, and I want y'all to lock hands. All right, can y'all do that? Hold on, we got one more here. All right, now look, all these are family. They're tied in somehow. All right, half the church is family. Okay, we don't have enough room to get them all up here. But these are the children in the family. There's more. Y'all just imagine. There's a lot, but we got uncles and grandmothers and parents right here. And you know what the devil's looking for? He's looking for a gap. This is just for illustration purpose. If the devil can get him, the devil can influence him somehow, and the devil can get him to let his guard down, If you can get him not to be faithful to church, or allow little things to take him out of church, or allow him not to read his Bible or pray for his kids, if he could just get him to do that, and he could pull him away from this chain of protection that God's put in these kids' lives, guess what? He's found a gap. It might not be him. God might work on mama. God might work on grandmother. God might work on uncle. I've got some uncles that I'm not allowed to spend time with. Say, why? Because they're a bad influence in my life. My mom and dad will not allow me to... I get to see them, but I don't get to go home with them. And they get mad about it. They call my dad old-fashioned and all these other kind of things. But you know what? I have somebody standing in the gap for me.
Amen.
And every one of us that are in here, you have people in your life that you need to stand in the gap for. And I can get every child in this church and put them in the middle of this, and all of us adults hold hands around here, and then we can get a visual picture and say, all right, which one of you is gonna let the gap open up for the devil, for the world? Y'all can go sit down. This is just an illustration this morning. And I'm asking you this morning, Brother Josh, you come to the piano. Would someone stand in the gap today? Everybody stand right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Would someone stand? Hey, can we get somebody to come down to this altar and say, I'm going to stand in the gap. Brother Andrew, I'm going to stand in the gap for my children. I'm going to stand in the gap for the children of this church.